All right, y'all, let's get rolling here. Northern pintail is what we ended on. Here's an adult male. Again, we have a green speculum here, green secondaries in the drake, and in the hen we have a bronze speculum, and that's the only species that'll have that bronze color. So I'll pass those around. Okay. Next species, the northern shoveler. Northern shoveler, Anas clypeata. Okay, so what's the most diagnostic thing on this bird?
Got a big long bill.
Look at that bill. Very spatulate bill, hence the name shoveler, looks like a shovel. And both the hen and the drake have that characteristic. With respect to the differences between the drake and the hen, drake has a black bill, and again, orange bill with mottling like many of the hens do. Also a nice green head. So there's another species with a green head, but hopefully you don't get that confused with the mallard, which looks quite different, especially because of the bill. And again, we're dealing with a tan mottled bird for the hen. Nice white chest and chestnut sides for the drake, and mottled brown body for the hen. Okay? All right.
Pretty. For
nesting. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cryptic coloration. Yep. Predator avoidance. And of course, when the males, we'll talk about the annual cycle of waterfowl and what goes on, including molting, etc., courtship, blah blah blah. When the males molt, they lose most of their breeding plumage. Okay, they're very cryptic as well because they go flightless. They lose their primaries, so they're out there and they're relatively they can't escape predators very easily. Yeah.
For the test, are we going to be given wing samples and have to identify them by the wings as well?
No, probably not. I might have a couple. Just like, for example, the one that I'm passing around right now. Here's a hint for those that stayed around. the pintail, the female pintail, because I've made specifically an indication that it has it's the only one with a bronze speculum. That would be one I might put on there. Okay? You can share it with the other folks that are helping out with with the cookout. All right. This is a very territorial breeder, the shovelers are. They defend their territories pretty intensively. Okay, now we are on to our diving ducks, and again, as we talked about earlier, well, let's just talk in general. Dabbling ducks generally dabble. That's where they get their name. They are feeding in very shallow water, only a couple feet deep. They generally, when they're feeding, they tip up a lot of times, and so you'll see them flip up and their butts will be in the air. Not all of the dabbling ducks do that, but they'll be in shallow water, sifting through sediment and picking out seeds and inverts with their bill. And the dabbling ducks, to varying degrees, have what are called lamellae. And if you look on your sheet here, there is a picture underneath of the wing of the bill. Okay? And the lamellae are rake-like structures that come down from the bill and sieve out food particles. Okay, so we have a duck bill here, and the lamellae come down. They're very rake-like. And depending on the feeding niches of different dabbling ducks, these may be extremely exaggerated. As you might expect with the northern shoveler, with that spatulate bill, they are very, very exaggerated. And so those act as sieves to help pull out food particles. The diving ducks, on the other hand, are going after generally aquatic submergent plants, or they're going after fish for the mergansers. So they're diving down and they're grabbing macrophytic plants, okay, and they're eating, consuming those macrophytic submergent plants. Hence the name diver, because a lot of them dive to very deep depths to secure those plant resources. And again, as we talked about earlier, all the diving ducks, they take off, they'll run across the water, except for the ring-neck duck, which I'll point that out when we get to them. So this one's the canvasback, Athia vallisneria. This is the species name here is after vallisneria. It's an aquatic plant, actually, because they prefer that, and I'm trying to remember the common name of it, but that's the genus. Vallisneria is the genus of the submergent plant that they like. It'll come to me in a little bit, I'm sure. Anyways, all right, so one of the things that you notice with the canvas back here is a very long, sloping forehead, right? Both with, oh yeah, this is one of the fastest ducks, too, just like the green-winged teal. Very, very fast bird. Over 100 kilometers per hour. That's smoking. Okay. So let's see here. What is that? 100 kilometers per hour is about 65 miles an hour or so, I think. Really? All right. Nice one. You just knew that off the top of your head. Well, I guess it would be 1.6 kilometers. Yeah, okay. That does make sense per mile. Okay. Very good. Right on. Okay. Right. Okay. So, anyways. Okay. So, here we have, we've got the canvasbacks, very fast birds. That long sloping forehead is very characteristic. And why is this important that I'm pointing that out? Is because where the bird that you would get that confused with is the redhead, which has a red head as well. But the shape of the head is quite different with the redhead. It's not long and sloping like this. The bill's actually different too. So the canvasbacks have a black bill, and that's going to differ from the redheads, which have a blue bill. Actually, that's another one that has a blue bill. All right, between the drakes and the hens, you have that nice red eye. And of course, the red crescent shaped head, or crescent colored head of the male, and a black eye, brown eye for the hen, okay, and brown head, of course. Black chest and black breast, and basically we're talking about brown over here again, and then you have a nice pale sides, gray sides and flanks, and basically the same with the grayness, except you do have some brown mottling with the hen in there. Oh yeah, that is body length, okay, and that is wing spread. Mm-hmm. All right. Any other questions? There's the redhead, Athia americana. All right, so as far as the slope to that head, and it's the same with the female, it comes up very quick. It's not a long sloping forehead. And also look at the bill, it's a blue bill. So they have a nice smoothly rounded head and dark wing with grayish secondaries. Well, I don't have a redhead and a canvasback to show you. But the wings are very different actually in these birds. The redhead is gray like this, okay, gray secondaries. The canvasback is it's a lot lighter, and it has a lot of vermiculation, a lot of white speckling on it, and so it's a much lighter wing, and it has a lot more white in the secondary. So if you just look at the wings, they're quite a bit different too. Again, Well, the male here has a red head and a yellow eye instead of the red eye that the canvasback has. Brown heads over here, okay. But there's that blue bill that I mentioned with the black tip, which is definitely different. Now, there we go. There's the American Wigeon actually had a black tip too, didn't it? So, but hopefully you don't get that confused with the American Wigeon. Bills are the redhead and the American Wigeon. Okay, And again, I forgot about that characteristic. One of the characteristics here of of the hens is that they will have, again, a kind of a grayish bill, but do you see that little white ring around it? And then it's got the black tip. There, right there before the nail, there is a little white ring, a light grayish ring around the bill.
Is that the female in the other picture? Is that
this here? No, that's a drake. This one, yeah, see the red head? Oh yeah, and you can actually see that for the drake too. Yeah. I forgot, they both have the white ring. Not as pronounced in the hen. That becomes just important when you are required to learn the hens, because this one looks very similar to scop, scop hens, the redheads do. But the scop hens will not have that ring. So, all right. Good? All right, the ring-neck duck. Athia calaris. All right, this is the duck that we talked about that is much like a dabbling duck, even though it's in the diving duck family, in that it jumps from the water when it flies. It goes straight up. They have a lot of lift with their wings. These birds are also found a lot in forested areas, consequently. You'll see them feeding with dabbling ducks a lot. Instead of the... most of the diving ducks, because they, first of all, prefer submergent aquatic vegetation, and they need a fair amount of distance to take off, like a jetliner, okay? These guys are more like helicopters, okay? So you'll find dabbling ducks in areas in very vegetated marshes or in many of them in forested wetlands. You will not find diving ducks in there. They need a long takeoff. Okay, except for this one. This one will be found in marshes and in forested wetlands. Okay, let's see here. All right, bill with a white semi-terminal ring. This is very similar to the redhead. Okay, so you can see that ring there. However, it doesn't have a red head, right? Now, one other thing that is different is that it has a white cream-colored ring at the base of the bill. And you can actually see it here in the hen over here. It's just faded. So, again, you won't see that fading with the hen redhead. The hen also, for the ringneck duck, has a white eye ring, which you can see there. I'm getting ahead of myself, I'm sure. It's the feathers. It is the feathers, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have a purplish head here for the ringneck duck, brownish head here. Now the other thing that the drake has that this bird looks very similar to the scop, the lesser scop and the greater scop. And one thing that is different though with the drake ringneck is you can see this white that comes up and it kind of turns, kind of looks like a little Nike symbol. All right? So that is a characteristic of the ringneck duck, the drake, right there. And as I mentioned before, you have that faint white eye ring for, and you have the ring around the bill. Yeah, so where's the ring, right? Yeah, good question. It is very faint. In fact, you can't even see it in these pictures, but it's basically a change in iridescence around the drake, and you can kind of see it in some pictures with hens, but you would think you might call it the ring-billed duck or something with that ring around the bill, but it's a little bit of a deceiving common name. All right, any questions? All right, as I already mentioned, these guys jump like dabbling ducks or take off more vertically. two scop species, lesser scop and the greater scop. First thing you'll notice is that the greater scop is a little bigger, but you know what? Not by much. And so most of the time, you're just, the morphological characteristics are not going to be able to differentiate these species. However, there are some plumage differences. The main one is that if you have good lighting, the lesser scop has a purplish head and the greater scop has a greenish head. All right. The greater scop also tends to have a more rounded head. But outside of that, these birds are nearly identical, except for their wings. Their wings are diagnostic. And I don't know if I have. I don't think I have greater. Oh, I do. Yes, I do. Cool. All right. Their wings are very diagnostic. Let's see if I have it on here. Yes. The white on the wing is restricted to the speculum, whereas the white on the speculum extends into the primaries. So if you have a wing, good, nice. Okay. First of all, there is a size difference. Lesser scop, greater scop. Okay? Second, white in the secondaries here, and it extends and bleeds into the primaries, greater scop. Whereas it stops, this isn't spread out as much, it stops in the lesser scop. Okay? You can see some faintness here, but it's not nearly as bright as with the greater scop. I mean, some of these are subtleties, and it takes a while to kind of look over them several times to kind of get a feel, but it is definitely brighter on the primaries of the greater scop.
Are we going to need to know the different things or just scop?
Yes, you will, but I'll have a good picture. So you will notice, I will give you one with a very green head or a very purple head.
Is that just a shadow on the scop?
No, but I know that almost looks like it's different, doesn't it? I don't think that's a diagnostic characteristic. Yeah.
Well, for us, they're kind of colorblind.
Oh. Well, that's not good, is it?
Actually,
so you can see shades, right? Like light and dark.
Yeah.
So I could put up the wings.
I'll start to say they look the same right now.
Oh, well, they look the same to me too. You aren't seeing. I mean, that is not a good picture on the left of that purple. If you can see greens, you can see green certainly in the greater scop, and it's not as apparent in the lesser scop. Now,
I'm sorry, the lesser scop got a shorter body length.
Well, it does, but not a whole lot.
Because according to this sibling, it almost looks like the lesser's got a shorter body and then it's more rounded than what the greater is.
Well, but from a photo, that's hard to pick up. Now, what I will do is I'll give a couple characteristics, because there are more things. In fact, a fair thing would be I do have wing pictures that I could put up, and so if you know that wing characteristic, I'll put up basically the picture of the bird and the wing picture. Okay, so you should be able to see that. But here's another characteristic, and that is where you're located. Basically, lesser scop are actually located throughout the United States, so that doesn't help you. But greater scop are typically found in coastal areas. So we very infrequently get greater scop in the state of Tennessee or in the Mississippi Alluvial Valley. Yeah?
It seems like in the lesser that the head's a little more pointy.
Yeah, I mean, those are some characteristics that the shape of the head is some other characteristics that you'll see in field guides. So the difference in the color of the heads is clear if you have good lighting and if you can see colors. So I will picture of one of these guys and either basically give the range, which you should know, or the wing, a wing picture. So just to help out. All right. Good. Yeah, I know. Okay. On to some of the smaller diving ducks, the common golden eye, not the smallest, but a small one. Okay, the common golden eye. Well, what jumps out at you? The golden eye, right? Yeah. Yep. You have a nice, blunt, short bill. Okay, that's for yanking up submergent aquatic plants. Okay, nice short bill, very stout. You do have a golden yellow eye. And so you have that short, stubby bill. One thing about these birds is their tails ride low in the water. Okay, they have a very low profile if you see them swimming. As you can see there. Now, the males have a nice green head with a yellow eye, and then they have this spot here. Reddish head over here, and brown head or brownish reddish head for the female. So they have a white circular cheek patch, the common golden eye does. Now, you have to also know the difference between them and tell the difference between them and the Barrow's golden eye, which will have a different shape for that white cheek patch. It'll be a crescent shape instead of a circular shape. The other thing is the hens over here, they have kind of a light pinkish terminus of their bill. So near the nail portion, it's a light pinkish color. And okay, all white chest, breast and flanks, and kind of a grayish body for the hens. All right. Bucephala clangula. Any questions? All right. Oh, okay, yeah, there's a distribution difference between them and the Barrow's golden eye. So these guys, you can find them transcontinental. And for the next one, Barrow's will be coastal. So here's the Barrow's golden eye. There you see with the drake, you have a nice crescent shape, teardrop shape, white patch right behind the bill. They're about the same size. They also have a much more, just like kind of the redhead, they have a much steeper slope to their forehead. And they have a purplish head instead of a greenish head, which the common golden eye has. All right, but that big characteristic is that white teardrop shape cheek patch. And again, their bodies look very similar. The white neck, breast, dark back, okay, that's pretty similar to the common golden eye. All right, so you have both species here. What's on the left? What's on the right?
Barrels.
Yep, so you have your barrels right there and common right there.
Is that barrel just for some reason not showing the white on the neck?
Yeah, I think it just has its neck down low. That's That's all. Yeah. Yeah. I think it just happens to be the angle. One thing you do notice is that they have more black really on the back of their bodies, though, in general, than does the common. They're not good enough to tell the difference, really. I don't know. I'm not sure. I really don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't read anything about that, but I'm sure it happens, but I don't think very frequently. All right, so Bucephala islandica. All right, and again, as I mentioned before, these guys have a coastal distribution for the barrows. And these are also a very territorial duck. All right, I believe it's the smallest duck in North America. That's the bufflehead, Bucephala albicola. And okay, so characteristics here. Small bird, 10 inches, okay? Smallest duck in North America. Very small, dark gray bill. So they just have this little teeny, teeny bill, okay, on their teeny body. They do ride low in the water as well. The drake has a dark iridescent head, which has green in it, has some purple in it. Of course, the female has a brown head. And of course, what's very striking is this white patch. That white patch does two things. It extends all the way to the eye, and it goes all the way to the back of the head. And that'll be important because there's another bird that has a white patch like that, although it's quite different, and that's the hooded merganser. Of course, over here with the hen, you have just a small cheek patch. A longitudinal stripe, white stripe on the cheek. Again, nice white body and a brown body for the hen. Okay. Good. All right, there's the other species with a white patch on the head, the hooded merganser, Lophodites cucullatus. But look at the white portion of the head. Okay, it comes down and it does not extend to the eye, and it also is rimmed in black. Okay, whereas with the bufflehead, extends to the eye, and this would be all white. No. This is, what did they have? They have a black eye. Yeah. So that, and also, the biggest thing, again, these are small fish eating, large macro invertebrate eating. Okay. So they have a long pointed straight bill. That's probably the bit key, you know, it's a merganser. And again, yellow eye between the drakes. We have a black forehead here and nice white. And that black portion of the back. And then you're dealing with a brown head, brown body, kind of frizzy back portion of the head. They can have a kind of a faint reddish tinge, as you can see, to that crest. We have three species of mergansers in North America. You have to know two of them, the hooded and the common. And this is the smallest of the mergansers. Good? Okay, the other merganser, Mergus merganser, common merganser, is a large bird, 18 inches. In fact, it's the largest of the mergansers. The other one is the red-breasted, which is a little smaller than the common merganser. So again, we're dealing with a merganser, long, serrated bill, very thick at the base, brown eyes for both of them, and kind of a sloping type forehead. Drakes have a nice green head here, all right? And the hens here have a copper colored head. White belly and black back, as you can see here. And one thing that you can notice with the hens is they have a white cheek patch. Now that's different from the red-breasted, which you don't need to know. The hens of the red-breasted mergansers do not have a white cheek patch. Let's see. And this is the largest of the mergansers. These guys are fish-eating monsters. I mean, they are awesome. And will dive very, very deep, 10, 15, 20 feet, to be down for over a minute. Very effective at capturing fish. All right, I think this is the last one. Again, another small duck, the ruddy duck, Oxyuria jamiasensis. And they're in the stiff-tailed tribe, so they have this very stiff tail. And the males have a nice blue bill. So chunky duck, diving duck with a very flat, wide bill. Not to be confused with the northern shoveler. Of course, they look a lot different as far as body form. Squatty bird here, stiff tail. Okay, long, stiff retroces that are often held vertically, as you can see here, especially during courtship. And nice bright blue bill here, but the hen over here does not have a blue bill. And rust-colored body, gray body here, and nice white cheek that you have, okay? Cheek patch for the drake, and for the hen, it's a longitudinal stripe that comes right there, okay? Good? Oh, one thing that I noticed when I was studying these things down in Puerto Rico is, even though it kind of looks like they have a wake, let me tell you, those things can swim, and you think you're getting closer, and they're just getting farther away. You're moving towards them, and they can move, and they create very little of a wake. It's just something that if you ever see ruddy ducks, you'll notice it right away. Just must have to do with their profile and the way they sit in the ground. They don't create much of a wake when they're swimming. Kind of neat little thing. All right, any questions? I think that will sum us up. So you guys want to take a little quiz? Practice? All right, take out a piece of paper.